Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, once was a farmer who had brought his buffalo to town. And the farmer said to the people in the town, if any one of you can fulfill three wishes of mine, this buffalo shall be given to you as a gift. Well, everyone in the town really, really excited to possess a strong, sleek buffalo. Well, said the farmer, firstly, I want to make my buffalo cry. Well, people pinched the buffalo, kicked the buffalo, did whatever. The buffalo did not cry at all. The pastor of the town came along, and the pastor said to the farmer, could I try? Of course you may, sir. And the pastor went up to the ear of the buffalo, whispered in the ear of the buffalo, and the buffalo cried and cried. This is amazing. Well, said the farmer, secondly, I want to make my buffalo laugh. People tickle buffalo, swing and dance, make monkey faces. The buffalo did not laugh at all. Then said the pastor, could I try again? Of course you may, sir. And the pastor went ear the buffalo, whispers in the ear of the buffalo, and the buffalo laugh like crazy. Well, thirdly, said the farmer, I want to make my buffalo run. People push the buffalo, drag the buffalo. The strong, sleek buffalo did not move a single inch. The pastor said, could I try one more time? Of course you may, sir. And the pastor went ear the buffalo, whispered, and the buffalo bolted off. My goodness, said the farmer to the pastor, what do you do to my buffalo, all right, before I present my buffalo to you as a gift? Well, said the pastor, firstly, I told the buffalo how hard I work as a pastor. I suppose the buffalo took pity upon me and started to cry and cry and cry. Well, secondly, I told the buffalo how much salary I'm paid every month as a pastor. I suppose the buffalo heard how hard I work. How can this guy be paid so little? And the buffalo couldn't believe it and cried and started laugh like crazy. Well, thirdly, I told buffalo, now you want to be a pastor. And the buffalo bolted off. How many want to be pastors here? Can I see your hands? How many want to be? Wow, my goodness. I like this. Pastor Gregory, I love this church. Everybody wants to be a pastor. Okay? In most churches, nobody wants to be a pastor. And so, friends, you know, Watoto is a great church. I feel like maybe I should transfer my membership here to be part of Watoto Church now. Amen, isn't it? But, friends, you know, in this whole area of leadership, you and I know, leadership, friends, at the heart of it is influence, isn't it? It is really influencing, all right, one another, which is so important. My first slide on the screen. Leadership is about influence. Of course, we can influence people for good. We can also influence people for bad, isn't it? And it's so important, therefore, for you and particularly as God's people, when you influence people for good, for God, and for His glory. Can a good amen for that? Okay, it's so important, isn't it? That we are here to influence people for good, for God, and for His glory. Isn't it? So important for you and I to see, to understand this, that God's call upon our lives is to influence people, really, in order that God's name, God's honor, and God's glory will be seen again and again all over the place like this, isn't it? Now, if this is going to take place, it means that there are four very important elements that are essential in our leading and leadership. What are the four essential elements that are needed, which is, I think, so important for all of us? I think the first element is one of faith, right? Faith that is so critical, so crucial for all of us, isn't it? And so here in Hebrews, or chapter 11, verse 1, okay, we're going to read together. You see, whenever in my church, when I preach, when Bible verses are projected on the screen, I get everybody to read aloud with me together. You know why I do that? Because sometimes it's the only time to read the Bible in a whole week. Say to your neighbor, he's not talking about you, okay? Because I know what Toto church people cannot wait to read and dying to read the Bible, and all God's people say, amen. Okay, that's great. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Come together in our loudest, strongest, robust, Watoto voices. Okay, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, faith is being certain what, okay, we hope for what we don't see. Faith is something that helps us to see beyond. Isn't it? And this is what I believe, Pastor, okay, Gary and Marilyn came here to Uganda. When you're told in no uncertain terms, this is a very dangerous place to come to. It's a very, very dangerous time to be in here in Uganda. But they believe God, that God has called them in faith to trust God to protect, in spite of all the voices that told them otherwise. Every single voice that came to them said, get out of this country. There is no hope, no future. But friends, that's what faith is all about. Faith dares to believe God when people see no future at all, isn't it? Right, and I believe, friends, you know, this is so critical and so crucial for all of us as God's people. The vital element is faith in God. This God is a good God and a great God. Can a good amen for that? Amen. All right, the more the amen, my preaching gets better and better. Amen. Okay, thank you very much indeed. That's why I love preaching African congregations. You know why? Amen, isn't it? Because whenever we make a good point, everywhere say amen. It will say, preach it, brother. Am I right or not? Okay. And some of you stand and do a jig around that kind of thing. This is great. But you know, if my preaching is flat, you know, some of you will say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, please help him. Please help him. Okay. All right. I trust you will be nice to me. Is it okay? Amen. Isn't it? But friends, you know, faith that dares to believe God for big things and for great things. Isn't it? All right. That's so important. And that's why I felt led by God in faith to trust that God will provide for us a dream center, we call it, where all the dreams will come alive. Isn't it? And so that's what God has called us to, friends. That's the first element in leadership. Faith to dare to believe God for big things, for great things. The second important element that is needed is vision. It's vision. And that's how you notice, friends, right? Apostle Paul speaking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verse 16 tells us this. Come, let's read again. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Isn't it? I was not disobedient from the vision from God from heaven. Isn't it? And so that's so important for you and I, friends, that as God has spoken to Paul and gave him a clear vision of God's call upon his life and what God wants him to do, likewise, friends, you and I must have a vision from God, isn't it? Catch a vision as what God wants to do in your life and through your life to touch many, many more lives, isn't it? There is great need here, Uganda. So good to hear the stories of these leaders who are up here just now about what God has done in their lives, okay, before receiving the gifts and the reward, isn't it? So good to see how God can use every one of us to make a difference in so many people's lives, isn't it? Why? Because I believe each one of you got a vision, right? Beyond your cell group, to see so many more cell groups be multiplied, so many more lives be touched, so many more people be impacted, so much more, right? Community work you and I can do, isn't it? To change a community for Jesus Christ. I believe, friends, that's what you and I are called to do, isn't it? All right, faith to dare to believe God for big things and vision to see beyond as well what God can do for you and me together in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's important. The third important element, friends, is one of alignment. Important thing about alignment, isn't it? And so you notice, friends, that's how Apostle Paul talks about in building really God's church, in building a community of God like this, okay, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. All right, come, let's read together. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, right, as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit. You see, friends, God is at work in trying to remind us we are to be involved, to be together, to be involved in building the church of Jesus Christ, so that the church of Jesus Christ, like a temple of God, rises up to honor, to glorify God like this. And we are built together, friends, as a body of Christ like this. Isn't it? And so one of the leadership requirements, friends, as you and I know, is one of aligning everybody together to fulfill God's purpose and fulfill God's kingdom and God's call upon our lives. Isn't it? In fact, I've been asked many times by people who come to visit us in DUMC, Pastor Dan, what is one of the biggest challenges you face here in running a church with this kind of size? And I believe the challenge is even greater. I say, if I've been summarized in one word, it is one aligning everybody towards a common focus, towards a common vision, towards a common goal, isn't it? Why? Because in a church of ours, like 4,000 or 5,000 people, you got 4,000 or 5,000 people got opinions how to run the church. And you know, clear yourself, you find you begin to fulfill everybody else's visions and ideas and so forth like this. And that's why as a leader, we're going to be clear about our vision that God has called us to, isn't it? And aligning everybody towards a common goal, towards a common call that God has put us all in. And that's so important, isn't it? And I believe here, you've got a bigger challenge. Okay, I'm going to commend really Pastor Gary and Marilyn for a great work, aligning everybody, common vision. Now the new team that God has raised up, Pastor Julius, okay, Pastor Eddie, and so many of you that God has raised up in a process, right? Your job increasingly, make sure that everyone is aligned in a common direction. Everyone moving towards a common focus and common purpose at the end of it all. Because if we're not leaders, we're not clear ourselves, we're in trouble, isn't it? We're really in trouble. So with the resources that God has given to you all, with the kind of manpower, personnel that God has given you all, it is how you juggle all this together to make sure this big ship, Watoto, will move in a common direction so to fulfill God's call and God's purpose here in Uganda, as well as Africa and the world of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Which is so important, isn't it? All right. So pray for your leaders, friend, your pastor, Pastor Julius, and the whole team, besides Pastor Gary, of course. You know, pray for them really, that you have the mind of Christ to understand what is God's call and what is God's purpose for us here in Uganda as well as whole Africa, which is, I think, so important. Never an easy task, friends. But that's the call upon all of us as leaders, isn't it? To be able to stand up, strike forward, and move on to fulfill God's design for all of us like this. Not only, friends, right, the element of, firstly, faith that is needed so much in leadership that God has called us to. The element of vision that is important. The third element, alignment, that is important. The fourth and final element that is important in leading a leadership is one of really courage, isn't it? Courage to lead, courage to take a step forward, courage to make difficult decisions, courage to take a stand for Jesus Christ, courage to remain faithful to God in spite of all the challenges, isn't it? Which is, I think, so important. And this is what you and I see, friends, in the life of Daniel like this, in Daniel chapter 6, isn't it? All right? As a man, really one of the most powerful persons in empire, even in spite of that, you find he faced challenges that Pastor Gary talked about. There will always be challenges in life. And this is one of the challenges that Daniel is faced with in Daniel chapter 6, right, verse 10. Come, let's read together. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. See, the king has himself passed a decree. King Darius has passed a decree that for the next 30 days, no one can pray to any other God, right? Except to he himself as God, as it were. And Daniel, after hearing even this decree, to said for the next 30 days, no one can pray to any other God except to the king. Daniel, in spite of the decree that's been passed, he knelt down and prayed to this God Almighty in heaven, trusting that God will be there to protect, watch over, and keep him, right? And to really lead him on to fulfill whatever God has called him to. Friends, can I say, there is always a price to pay in leadership. If one leadership that is comfortable and convenient, friends, doing the work of God will never progress very much, will never go very, very far. Until unless you and I, friends, are prepared to pay the price and stand firm in whatever the challenge we're faced with, we find we will not be able to fulfill God's mandate for all of us. And that's so important. All right. So you notice, friends, Daniel's prepared to surrender his life, surrender his position, right, in order he could be faithful to God. Leadership requires courage and great courage. That's so important. And that's the reason why there's a man, right, the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a person who stood against Adolf Hitler, all right, okay, in the midst of the Second World War, willing to stand firm and fight him if necessary, because he felt that Adolf Hitler has become an embodiment of evil and all that is wrong in a nation. What did he say? In one of his books, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, okay? When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It's an invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we prepared to pay the price of leadership? Are we prepared to pay the price of God's call upon our life? Isn't it? All right? But friends, you know, when we do that and willing to pay the price, God, I believe, will honor us. Now, in fact, he was eventually executed by Hitler. When his plan to try to overthrow Hitler was found out, he was eventually executed. But you know, friends, today, if you go to London, for example, Westminster Abbey, one of the 10 martyrs of the world, all right, in the 20th century, there's a small little a bust of Dietrich Bonhoeffer there is there, one of the 10 martyrs of the 20th century, friends. So sometimes we may die for the cause of Christ, but God has his own ways of honoring us and rewarding us at the end of it all. Now, all God's people say, so important, isn't it? And that's what is required. That's what is called for, friends, for all of us in leadership. Now, if those are the four important elements for leadership, what is it you and I need to guard to ensure that, friends, in our life, in leadership, we'll be able to make sure that there's a legacy and influence we'll leave behind? What are some of the things you and I must guard, really, to make sure that we leave behind a good legacy and not a bad one? Because we all will leave behind some kind of legacy. Amen? All of us leave some kind of legacy. The point is whether it's a good legacy or a bad legacy, isn't it? And so it's very, very important. What are the three important things you and I must guard to make sure that we leave behind a good legacy and not a bad one? Three things that can trip us off and make us ineffective, if not even useless, for Jesus Christ. What are the three things you and I must guard? The first thing, friends, is a whole area, okay, of money. of money. That's so important, isn't it? Okay? And it's, friends, you know, here in Scripture, in 2 Kings, okay, chapter 12 and verse 15, it is such a refreshing verse, really refreshing, right? Because it's what it says to us like this. Come, let's read aloud together. They did not require an accounting from those to whom they gave the money to pay the workers, because they acted with complete honesty. Isn't it wonderful, right, to come across a verse of Scripture like this? That these people entrusted with responsibilities about handling money, that no accounting is needed from them. Of course, we still need accountants. Amen? How many accountants are here in this audio? Wow, okay, fantastic. God bless you all. Of course, we still need accountants. But here, friends, you notice it tells us clearly, no accounting is needed. Why? Because they all acted with complete honesty. And that's what you and I as leaders must make sure we do. That in the handling of monies, every single cent is accounted for. Every single cent is accounted for. Whether we're out there in the marketplace at work, right, wherever our responsibilities in a workplace, in a marketplace, you are there. Make sure every single cent is accounted for. So important. And so, for example, you may be entitled to claims, right, with regards to your work expenses, right, regards to your travels, your stay, whatsoever, you're entitled to claims. I tell my church people, make sure whatever you claim is genuine, is authentic, right, is really honest and transparent. Because it's useless to claim even a few thousand dollars more. What's the point, friends, in making those claims that are dishonest? Because this becomes a stain on our character. Sometimes nobody knows. But friends, you and I as Christians, sometimes we've forgotten. God knows. Hello? We've forgotten. God knows everything, isn't he? All right? So the important point is we've got to make sure, friends, in the handling of money, we are really accountable, honest, transparent in everything whatsoever. So in all that we do, friends, there is nothing to hide. So that when there is nothing to hide, there is nothing to lose, nothing to prove, and finally, nothing to fear. Amen? It's so important, isn't it? But we've got something to hide, all right? We always are fearful that in case we are found out. You know what I mean? And so important, nothing to hide, therefore nothing to lose, nothing to prove, but nothing to fear. So we walk always a transparent life, especially in the first area of money that you and I are going to watch out for. And it's so important. So even in the church, right, as leaders of the church, even as pastors of the church, we're going to make sure every single cent is accounted for. Because sometimes it is not uncommon to see leaders of church and hear stories of pastors of churches mishandling money, it's a sin, which is so sad, which is such a tragedy. As a result, they don't finish well, like this, the same. The second area that's important is sex. To make sure that we walk right before the Lord in terms of our moral sexual life. That's so important, isn't it? All right? And you notice, friends, the account here in Genesis chapter 39 is about the young man Joseph with all his hormones and testosterone all running like crazy, you know what I mean? And with Mrs. Potiphar, because at that time, Joseph was working in a household of Potiphar, tall, dark, and handsome. And what happens is Mrs. Potiphar took notice of this tall, dark, and handsome young man, isn't it? And what was Joseph's experience, right? He digged well, worked very hard, and took charge of the whole household of Potiphar. But then, unfortunately, what happens, Mrs. Potiphar has a different idea, right, about Joseph. What does it tell us like this in Scripture? Genesis 39, verses 9 and 10. Come, let's read together. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? The next slide. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. You see, Mrs. Potiphar was trying to attract Joseph and draw Joseph to and go to bed with her. Now, nobody would be in the house at the point of time, probably as Potiphar planned, Mrs. Potiphar planned all this. But friends, you notice here, temptation doesn't just come once. It says that day after day, day after day. And that's the reason why, friends, you and I must continue to be watchful all the time. It's not just some of the time. It's all the time. Even in this season, the age of my life, I believe with Pastor Gav Marilyn, we have to watch our life as well. We must not say that we are now okay. It is you all that are not okay. Nobody is okay, friends. Hello? Nobody is okay. When are we okay? We are only okay the day we die. Hello? Yeah. Only the day we die. Because as long as we're alive, the whole area of sex can be a problem for any one of us, isn't it? Because it is not uncommon, for example, to see an 80-year-old man marrying a 25-year-old girl. Hello? Isn't it not uncommon to see this? And that's what is happening, is it? So therefore, a second area we are not careful to watch out is a whole a relationship open sex. We don't draw boundaries and have great clarity. It can trip us over and prevent us from finishing well, isn't it? So important. So therefore, in our church, in DUMC, for example, all right, I'm particular even about giving lifts to the opposite sex for my church members. You know, sometimes you work downtown Kuala Lumpur, all right, in a nice, lovely, multi-story high-rise building in a lovely, okay, complex, and you discover in the process another sister who works, all right, in the same office with you, all right, you drive alone to work every day, whereas she takes a bus to work every day, that kind of thing. And you live more from the same housing estate, and you come from the same church, the Watoto Church, some more. You say, let me give you a lift up to your good heart. You know what I mean? And if you do this too often, what happens? All right, you begin to enjoy the person's company. You begin to enjoy the conversation. And the process, you discover, my goodness, this lady, she wants to learn to play, how to play golf, and you're a very good golfer yourself. And so one day you call up your wife. You call up your wife one day from work, from the office, darling, you know, today a lot of work. I need to stay back to work late into the night. Why don't you, darling, go ahead, have dinner with your children? Okay, I'll come back late tonight. But you know what? 6 o'clock after work, you ought to make an appointment to meet that girl in a golf course. And then she was trying to hold the golf. No, you don't swing, you hold her. No, you hold her. I'm not going to swing like that. Before you realize it, you're hooked. Then what happens? Slowly, absences begin to appear in your life. Unexplained absences begin to appear in your life. And friends, that's the reason why we find if we don't draw boundaries very clear, even a whole area of relation opposite sex, it can trip us over and prevent us, even as leaders, from finishing well. This can happen to any one of us, including pastors as well. Amen. The third area you and I need to watch out for is a whole area of power. All right? Making sure the power that God has given to us is used rightly and properly. All right? Not to oppress people. You see, unfortunately, sometimes we can start well and start very well. But sometimes near the end of our life or, okay, the latter season of life, we might not be really doing well in the exercise of power that God has given to us. You know, one of the best persons I can think of in Scripture is that of King Solomon. Started extremely well, isn't it? God gave him so much blessings upon his life, all right, that he became really, in that sense, a real icon to everybody who wanted wisdom, insights, and understanding, isn't it? And you find, as we know, Solomon even wrote 3 books of the Bible, at least contribute 1 psalm in the book of Psalms like this, all right? But what happens to him who started so well in his life? What happens to him in the latter years of his life? Finally, God's people came before his son who had just taken over the throne. And God's people said to the son, King Rehoboam, like this. Okay, just one verse of scripture. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 14. Right? The whole people of Israel came before King Rehoboam, the young son, and tell the young son what he should do unlike the father. Okay, what did they tell? All right, the young king about the father. Come, let's read together. Your father put a heavy yoke on us. Now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. The people of God just appealed to King Rehoboam. Will you treat us just nicer compared to your father? Your father became hard and harsh upon us. Treat us nicer. Friends, you know, power that God has given to us is not meant to oppress people, not meant to thumb down people. Power that God has given to us is meant to serve people and to lift up people, all right? Push them even higher, all right? To become the kind of people that God has designed them to be, you see? And this is where, honestly speaking, I so appreciate Pastor Gary and Sister Marilyn, what they have done, okay, to all of you, really, isn't it? To make sure that leaders and new leaders and all kinds of leaders are raised up to take this great work of Watoto to the next level and a higher level, a higher level of Jesus Christ. That's so important, isn't it? Why? Because leadership is not about us, about Pastor Gary or myself. It's not about us. Leadership is about God, isn't it? That God has given both of us a great privilege of starting churches and leading to where it is today, isn't it? And our job, if we can make sure we're going to finish well, our job doesn't end with us. Our job ends with the next generation and your generation after, that's the job, isn't it? I would just see many more people raised up to serve Jesus Christ for His honor, for His glory. The power that God has given to us is to empower people, is to serve them, is to really enable them to move on to fulfill God's call upon their lives. So the Church of Jesus Christ marches on, shakes the nations of the world. So the Church of Jesus Christ become the transforming agent that offers hope to the whole world. And all God's people say, it's so important for us like this. And so friends, these are the three important areas we've got to make sure as leaders we've got to guard. If we're going to leave a wonderful legacy and of great influence behind, to guard against, all right, the misuse of money, to guard against, okay, the whole area being tripped over by sex and relationships that are wrong. And third area, friends, the whole area of making sure we don't misuse whatever power. Power that's got to be meant to serve people, meant to bless people, meant to lift up people and not dumb them down. Amen. Finally, friends, what are the things you and I must do to ensure that we continue to build strong faith, but also passion that is high all the way to the end? You see, this is my burden and my concern, friends, right? That sometimes even the Christian leaders down the road, when we're far down the road, as it were, sometimes I find we lose faith. Sometimes our faith is only so-so, just mediocre. And sometimes worse too, no passion left, as well, no more excitement about God and the things of God. And it's so important to make sure we guard against this. Isn't it? It's like, for example, I was speaking to a church in London, and at the end of the service, one of the gentlemen came up to me and said, "Pastor Daniel, I believe you're speaking to me." He says, "I'm 74, my name is Jamie, I'm 74 years old. I'm a chairman of the church council. I plan to resign, all right, on 31st of December and hand over leadership, everything else to the rest of the younger people. And then what happens is I take a step backwards and then I just come to church every Sunday. That's it for me." You know what? I told him, I said, "Jamie, I'm going to kill you if you do that." Why is this, right, irresponsible to do that? Because God has blessed you with four great things. He has blessed you, for example, with the gifts over the years He's given to you, isn't it? Secondly, He has blessed you the whole area experience, the rich experience you have of 74 years old. Thirdly, He has given you wisdom about Scripture and everything else. And fourthly, you've got a maturity to help people along. So your job is to let go and just sit back, relax, and don't do anything else. Your job is, yes, you may hand over, but run with them, journey with them, cheer them on, and continue to enable them to fulfill God's plan and purpose for them. That's so important, isn't it? So our job is to cheer you on. I just actually mentioned Pastor Gary as we were walking on the way down. I said, here is a man in just this last, less than 24 hours. Here's a man who's got an amazing gift of encouragement. Every person he sees, he encourages that person, whoever they may be. Whether the home we went to today, in the morning, anywhere, everywhere, always an encouragement. It's just amazing. And Pastor Gary, really appreciate it. Good as Sister Marilyn. Always an encourager. Always seeing hope and a future in everyone that he meets up with. And it's so important, isn't it? So what are the three things, friends, that is important for us to make sure that we are keyed in to fulfill God's purpose and call so that our faith remains strong and stronger as we grow older, so our passion remains higher and higher as we move on in a wonderful manner? Three W's, if I may say. First W is the whole area of worship. Worship's the center of our life, isn't it? And it's so important, isn't it? All right, worship the center of our life. All right, this is what, friends, King David himself says in Psalm 27 in verse 4. Of the so many things this great king could ask for, only one thing he asked for. What is it? Psalm 27 verse 4. Come, let's read together. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Of the many things David asked for, just one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and worship Him and seek His face forever. What is that? It is worship. What is that? It is keeping God at the center of it all, friends. Keeping God at the center of everything that we do. Once God is out of focus, friends, we're in trouble, isn't it? And we, you and I need to be reminded again, especially when we become smarter and cleverer, when we become more successful, when we become more famous, as it were, in whatever that we do. Watch out, friends. Because sometimes in the midst of success and fame and power and fortune, whatever, God may just begin to be shifted aside. That all these fame and fortune becomes most important for us. This becomes as if our new idols in our life. We've got to watch out for it. Amen. So worship, all right? Because if worship is center, it means God is the heart of it all. And if God is the heart of it all, friends, we will see everything correctly. Once God is out of focus, we see everything in life wrongly, friends. And that's the reality of it all. So friends, the first thing is worship the center of our life and therefore keeping God at the center. The second W that's important is the word to feed and to guide us. We need the word of God to feed and to guide us. You see, here Jesus came to this most closely knitted family, a family Jesus himself loved, and many times he would spend time with the family. Sometimes he probably stay overnight as well. And in this occasion, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was visiting the family, okay? And Martha, like a wonderful, wonderful Ugandan lady, cooked the best, okay, make okay for Jesus, everything else for Jesus. Cooked the best food, or chapati, okay, curry chicken, everything else for Jesus, that kind of thing. Really caught up with the best food that she would make sure you provide for Jesus. And in the process of cooking the best food, she got flustered and upset because her sister Mary refused to come to help her. And she stormed into the presence and complained to Jesus like crazy about their sister of hers, Mary, that's so irresponsible. What did Jesus say? Luke chapter 10, all right, verses 41, 42, together. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Friends, you notice the second one thing. Only one thing is needed. What is that? Mary had chosen to sit at my feet, to take in my word, to listen to me. And that's what, friends, you and I as leaders particularly, we've got to do. Come to the word of God each day, taking God's word, read, meditate, pray over this, all right? Pray this into our life and make sure that we continue to obey and live out God's word in our life, because when we live out God's word, friends, it will kind of steer in the right course to fulfill God's design, God's purpose for us. And all God's people say, the final W, friends, firstly, worship the center of our life, meaning that we put God at the center of it all as leaders. Secondly, friends, the word to feed, to guide us, so that it's a clear, friends, okay, guide for all of us in our life. The third W for all of us is a whole area of witness. Witness to fire to inspire us. If see, friends, when we witness for Jesus, it means that we're excited about our faith. How many of you, right? You came from non-Christian backgrounds. Can I see your hands? How many of you? Oh, very few. My goodness. How many of you come from Christian backgrounds? How many of you, knowing Jesus is the best thing that happened to you in your life? Can I see your hands? If hand is not up, come forth up to us. Pastor Gary will pray for you all. Okay, something's not quite right with your faith. You see, right? For me, coming from Buddhist background, knowing Jesus is so good, right? That I cannot wait to actually come to serve the Lord, okay, by His mercy, by His grace like this. You see? And so, friends, you notice, right here in this regard, in John chapter 9 and in verse 25, here is a man who was born blind, right? But now healed by Jesus. But unfortunately, Jesus did it on the Sabbath day. And so, therefore, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were really upset with Jesus. You know, friends, why some people are called Sadducees? Because they are sad, you see. That's why they're called Sadducees, you see. All right. Always very sad. No joy at all like this. Always finding fault, okay, with everybody. And so therefore, okay, the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers all came, all right, to this blind man now healed by Jesus, okay. How could this man heal on the Sabbath day? He must be a bad man, a terrible, a sinner. What did, all right, this man born blind healed said? Come, let's read together, John 9:25. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Notice, friends, the third one thing. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Because why? Knowing Jesus is so good. We cannot not talk about Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. Amen? Very important. For me, knowing Jesus is so good. Giving half a chance, I will tell Jesus. All right? That's why on the flight, normally on the plane, Doris and I, we don't sit together. All right? We sit separately. What is the purpose? So I can share Jesus with people sitting next to me. All right? And a friend of mine, when he heard this, he said to me, you know, Daniel, if I don't sit with my wife will kill me. All right? All right? So I'm so grateful, really, to Doris, who don't mind about me sitting wherever. But my job is to witness to people. So on the flight here, for example, sitting next to me is a lady from Uganda. All right, I said, I'm coming to Uganda to what this great church called Watoto, or to preach. Okay, do you go to a church? She says, yes, I do. What church you go to? Did you mention it? I said, you come this Sunday to Watoto. She said, I've been before. I said, come again. Okay, good. You'll be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, friends, you know, I've been witnessing to all kinds of people. Watoto Church, the last 24 hours, everywhere I go, like this. Okay, all right, including the hotel we are staying in as well. So, you know, friends, I'm selling Watoto anywhere and everywhere like this. So, let me close with one story. Is it okay? Just close with one quick story about wherever I go, I share Jesus. And it's so important because knowing Jesus is so good. How can you not share Jesus? I was down in Singapore for a meeting, just an overnight meeting. Next morning, check up on the hotel. Within a minute, a taxi came by. So I hopped in the taxi. I told the taxi driver, could you please take me to Changi Airport? Okay, flying back from Singapore, all right, to back to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. I said, of course, all right. And you know, Singapore is so small, all right. Traveling time is always very, very short. So I waste no time. I start right away. I said, sir, thank you so much for taking me to Changi Airport. What's your name, by the way? He says, my name is Noh Hisham. First time I met actually a Muslim taxi driver, all right, in Singapore. All the other times, all Chinese. I said, Noh Hisham, thank you for taking me to the airport. Really appreciate. By the way, my name is Daniel Ho. I'm a pastor from Malaysia. You're very special. Out of 7.5 billion people, God take a pastor to sit in your taxi. You are so special, and God has sent me to let you know. You are special. He knows you, He remembers, and He loves you. He said, my goodness, my hair is standing on end. This is unbelievable, he said. And then without me saying further, he volunteered all this information to me. He said, sir, you know what? I'm married and my wife is blind. Not just that, she's diabetic. And 3 times a week, I need to take her to hospital for dialysis treatment. That's why I work as a taxi driver. That gives me flexibility of time. He said, I've got a son who is 9 years old. And on and off, my son will call me and say, Dad, could you please come home? Because I'm very lonely. Now, you can't blame the son because the mom is blind. Could not help you in anything whatsoever. So, Dad, could you come home? I'm very lonely. And you know what he said to me? Noh Hisham said, my son will call me several times a day. And that's where it breaks my heart, having to tell my son, son, you just have to stay at home. You have to wait until Dad finishes work in the evening and come home. You just have to learn to cope and manage. He said, that's when it breaks my heart. But then he went on to tell me further. He said, sir, you know what? I believe all the pain and the heartache I'm going through right now is because I'm paying for the sins of my past. Very Muslim thinking, paying for the sins of my past. He said, sir, you know what? When I was a teenager, I got involved in drugs and therefore in crime. And therefore, I get, all right, to feed my drug habit. All right, I got involved in crime. And as a result, I was in and out of Singapore prison many times. So today, sir, what I'm going through is really paying for the sins of my past. I said to Noh Hisham, well, sometimes we may make mistakes in our past. God has sent me specially for you to let you know there is help, there is hope, and there is a future. I shared Jesus with him all the way to the airport, and at the end challenged him. You know, Hisham, like me, coming from Buddhist background, seems knowing Jesus is so amazingly good. You can also discover hope, help, and a future through Jesus. So we'd like to trust in Jesus. As he was driving, he was looking ahead, paused for a moment. He said, okay, I will. I said, fantastic, Noh Hisham. I want to pray for you now. He said, okay, because I'm in a rush for time. The moment I arrive at the airport, I appear at the taxi fare, I dash in to catch my flight so I don't miss my flight. So I want to pray for you now, Noh Hisham. He said, okay. He said, okay. Right, 4 steps involved in trusting in Jesus. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Fourthly, invite you to life as Lord and Savior. Is it okay? Is it clear? Yes, sir. I want to pray for you now, Noh Hisham. I want you to follow me in prayer, aloud, sentence by sentence. Is it okay? You say, can you, Noh Hisham, both drive and pray at the same time? Can. Wow. I said, smart Singaporeans can all multitask. This is amazing. This is just wonderful. I said, one more thing, very important, Noh Hisham. As I lead you in prayer, sentence by sentence, it's the following. For goodness sake, keep your eyes open, okay? All right? Others, you'll be dead and I'll be dead, I told him. I led him in a sinner's prayer. When we arrived, I paid him taxi fare. And after paying a taxi fare, before I could dash off, he held onto me. And he said this to me, sir, I have never met a passenger like you in my whole life. Friends, can I say, like people here in Kampala, Holy Uganda, around the world, many people, they look very smooth, very suave, even sophisticated. Many, many are hurting on the inside, friends. And you and I have the greatest of all news, the good news of Jesus Christ to share, to offer hope, healing and a future for everybody around, friends. Let's go and do it. And together, friends, let's go and do it. Go all out to do it. So together we change Kampala, we change Uganda, we change the world for Jesus Christ and all God's people say. All right, shall we stand? Come, let's stand. Let me pray for all of you. Can we stand together?
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.